This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again. I think if there is one uniting factor among all Bible-believing evangelical parents, it's this. I want my kids to grow up to be really strong Christians and stay that way. So it isn't at all surprising that we get really concerned over the statistics showing how many kids from Christian homes end up leaving the church or even leaving the faith altogether. We all say, don't let that happen to my child, Lord. But with some churches being what they are, with youth ministry sometimes being what it is, and with parents feeling inadequate to the task of discipleship, we have got to focus on this key issue of parenting our children toward their salvation and then doing what we can to keep them from backsliding by the grace of God. So we're going to talk about it today with Todd Friel, host of Wretched TV and Radio. He's an author and producer of over 24 Bible study courses, has written a number of great books, and his latest, which we're going to tackle today, Reset for Parents, How to Keep Your Kids from Backsliding. Always a pleasure, Todd. How are you?
Hey, you little monsters, pipe down. Daddy's doing a radio interview about how to be a good Christian parent.
Hey, Janet, how are you?
Todd, you're the best. Hey,
just an excellent parent.
I know. I can nail you to the wall now because in one of your chapters, you said, I don't think I've ever yelled at my kids. So what's up with that?
You know, I think that claim is actually accurate, but that is not to say that I haven't sinned against them a million times. You know what my weapon is, Janet?
What?
My face. See, I ramp down. Instead of yelling at my kids, I tend to get kind of quiet and calm, and the look on my face says, I'd really like to get the wooden spoon and spank you hard right now. That's because I've got a mean face, and I've got to watch that. It's awful.
Well, you're a better man than I am. Well, I'm not a man, but you're a better man than I am.
Whatever.
We're not going transgender here, folks, but I'd yell at my kids. I shouldn't yell at my kids, but occasionally I do yell at my kids. But you're kind of the Mount Vesuvius type, then. You just get quiet, and there's just a little smoke coming out of the ears.
I mean, it's just as sinful.
Yep.
But it just looks a little more spiritual.
Yes, yes. Well, it is great to have you here, Todd, because I know you're as concerned about some of these statistics as I am and as many of the listeners are, where we hear all of these huge numbers being touted about kids who grow up in the Christian church and parents who are Christians, and then they go off to college and they don't come back to church. Why do you think this is happening? What's your assessment of this trend?
Well, first of all, I think the actual numbers are higher than what the pollsters are reporting. George Barna thinks it's 60%. I've heard Vody Baucom claim 80%. This book, Reset for Parents, Janet, is not because, as we've already established, I'm a perfect parent. But this is my experience with going to university campuses in the Bible Belt and talking to almost exclusively backslidden kids. The vast majority of the kids that I talk to, I mean, Janet, 9 out of 10 kids, I will ask them about their Christian faith, and they will say, well, I'm kind of rethinking it. Well, you know, it's my way, but, you know, if you want to be a good Buddhist, that's fine. And my experience tells me that there's even more kids than George Barna is identifying. It is epidemic. And so what I did, I listened to all of their reasons for leaving the faith, and that's what this book is. So this isn't parental pontificating about how wonderful I am and you should be like me. No, this is what I've heard the kids say and how we can address these issues and not make the same mistakes that other parents have made.
That's good. What were some of the reasons that they told you they left the faith?
They don't know the gospel.
Yeah.
Just start right there. I mean, the most basic thing. I mean, this is like McDonald's forgetting they sell hamburgers. This is our central message. And Janet, child after child, I would ask, hey, tell me, you went to church as a child, yes? Then explain to me in one sentence, what's the gospel? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello, anything. and they would respond by saying, and I'm not kidding, I have no idea, or what's the gospel? Or some would say Matthew, Mark, Paul, and John.
Oh, so, no. You
know, half gospel, half Beatles.
Oh.
So one of the reasons that so many kids are not Christians is because they do not understand the cross. And it's so easy to overlook this as a parent. You know, we think the youth pastor does it. They maybe hear it in church on Sunday, maybe. So we don't have to do it. Parents should be persistent about preaching the gospel to their kids. And as a follow-up to that, Janet, and this is where I just find the Christian faith to be exhilarating. Yeah. Start living the gospel. Show your child the gospel. I talk to so many kids who would say, you know, Mom and Dad, they go to church on Sunday, they sing Jesus Loves Me, but that's the last time we heard about him all week. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. And so one of the encouragements in this book, Janet, is to take the theology of the gospel and actually apply it to your relationships, to actually have it do something. And I'm telling you, done rightly, it will radically change your family. It changed ours.
Well, let me go back to something that you said. When you say kids don't know what the gospel is, I'm assuming for the sake of argument, correct me if I'm wrong, that these kids with whom you're speaking came from relatively, if not universally, conservative evangelical homes. I mean, they probably weren't United Church of Christ, all of them.
Mostly Baptist kids.
Okay, mostly Baptist
We're
kids.
We're in Atlanta. They're mostly Baptist.
Okay, mostly Baptist kids. So everybody has this idea, I would assume, that at a Baptist church, you're going to hear the gospel. And that's one of the denominations you would expect. You're more likely to hear the gospel than not. And I'm not picking on the Baptist necessarily. Why aren't they hearing the gospel? Is this a youth ministry problem? Is this merely a parental problem? What's going on?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that we've kind of waffled on. And one of those things is we've kind of contemporized the gospel and we've turned it into something it's not. The gospel, I think, boils down to two sentences. We are wicked sinners, and Jesus is an amazing Savior.
Okay.
But the predominant gospel that's preached, I would say, in the majority of good Bible-believing Baptist churches is, hey, kids, come to Jesus. You've got a God-shaped hole in your heart. Only he can fill it. Don't do sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Try Jesus, so ask him into your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, well-intentioned, but that's not the gospel. So we need to start out by rightly opening up the law. Now, here's where we can goof this up, Janet. It's very easy to be a law parent.
Yes.
Do this, clean up, try harder, study more. Those are all laws.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not using the law lawfully. Here's what we should be doing with the laws of God. Crushing our kids, leading them to despair that they can't keep the laws, that they cannot attain perfection, that they cannot please God with their works. The law should crush them, and then we rush in with the gospel balm. Great news. You're right, honey. You can't keep the law, but there is one who did, and he will credit that to your account so that you can be forgiven and seen as righteous. That's why we need to run to Jesus. That's using the law lawfully.
Yes.
But if all we do is command people, hey, don't lie, be nice to your sister, all we're doing is heaping laws on our kids, and they tend to either be bruised reeds or work righteous Christians who've never rested in the gospel.
Yes. And what we don't want to do is send the message to our kids that if you're good enough, you'll go to heaven. That is anti-gospel.
But and I doubt that anybody listening to your program right now would say, oh, I've never said that. But we can imply that if we're not balanced. You know, Martin Luther, it's been paraphrased 100 times, but he basically said the drunken man gets on the horse, falls off the right side, crawls back up and falls off the left side. Mm-hmm. That's the Christian walk. And if we are only giving laws to our kids and not giving the gospel, then the kids think they got to do stuff to get to heaven.
Right.
Right. And we've confused them.
We certainly have. And that's, you know, I want to dive into this question of justification and confusing justification with sanctification, because that's another thing that you tackle later on in the book. I want to get to that. But this is so critical for people to understand, Todd, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I think there are a lot of parents who have been in church for years, and even they may not be able to define the gospel. So I want to dive into that right away when we come back here on Janet Mefford Today. Stay with us. Todd Friel and I discussing his book, Reset for Parents, How to Keep Your Kids from Backsliding. Don't go away. Christmas is coming, and what better gift to give someone you love than a great Christian book? But where can you find one? Look no further than the Northampton Press. They reprint some of the greatest Christian literature ever published from the English and American Puritans, men like John Bunyan, Jonathan Edwards, and Octavius Winslow. These were Christians whose knowledge of the Bible was deep, and whose commentary on God's Word is so convicting that it's virtually unmatched. I can honestly say the Northampton Press prints some of the best Christian books that I've ever read. And right now, if you purchase any Northampton Press book and mention Janet Mefford Today, they'll send you a free copy of the book Law and Liberty, A Biblical Look at Legalism. Check out their catalog online at northamptonpress.org. That's Northampton with one H. Give the gift of a truly great biblical book this Christmas. Visit northamptonpress.org. That's N-O-R-T, hamptonpress.org. Visit them now at northamptonpress.org. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com, and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. We are back on Janet Mefford Today, and if you're a Christian parent, there is no doubt you want your kids to be saved. You want them to be disciples of the Lord Jesus, to follow them, follow him all of their days, and to mature in the faith. And yet we see these statistics from Barna and elsewhere talking about Christian kids leaving the church after they leave high school and never returning. And these are daunting statistics. Todd Friel is with us from Wretched TV and Radio. He's out with a new book, Reset for Parents, How to Keep Your Kids from Backsliding. Let's talk about this a little bit, Todd, because you said the problem with these kids that you've spoken to at a lot of these campuses, then they've said, I'm not in church anymore because I just, you know, and then you say, what's the gospel? And they don't know. What did they pick up from church? What was the wrong, what was the wrong message that they're rejecting? In other words, what are they rejecting? If they're not rejecting the gospel, what are they rejecting?
Well, they're basically rejecting mom and dad's thing. That's what they did, but that's not what I choose to do. And Janet, I believe we've talked about this before, the deplorable state, not every youth ministry, but overall the deplorable state of the youth ministry.
Yeah.
It's fun, it's games, it's food, it's trips, but it's no catechesis, there's right. no theology being taught, there's right. nothing. Dignity is not a word that tends to affect most youth groups. So these kids are basically giving up fun and games and exchanging them for more interesting fun and games. They run off to university, and so we don't have a pizza party, but they're smoking pot, or it's sex, or it's whatever the issue is. So they trade one set of fun for another set of fun. And I would also toss this in, Janet, I've seen this myself, and I heard this from so many kids. They felt, as a child, that they were being treated like a child. You know, they were entering into their teen years. And the youth pastor was happy slappy and talked down to them, and it was all about silliness. Well, then they run off to university, and these professors treat them with respect, and they find that attractive.
Right.
Another thing that the kids experience in church that they're rejecting, and I don't blame them, is oftentimes when kids transition from youth programs where they get treated lovingly and well to becoming a young adult, they tend to get ignored. They don't get plugged in. People don't talk to them in the lobby, and so they feel as if they're being looked at askance because they got two ear piercings instead of one. And so they've rejected a coldness that they've experienced in the church. So I think that we would do well to understand the millennial brain in that these kids don't want to be rejected. They don't want to be neglected. They don't want to be talked down to. They want to do stuff. They want to be plugged in. And if we're not plugging them in, they will get plugged into something else.
Well, that's also a very big consideration, Todd, because the input is largely coming in a lot of these kids' lives through the smartphones, through Instagram, through Snapchat, through Twitter, through the internet, on various websites and all the rest. What about the amount of time that is spent taking in worldly wisdom, as it were, from the media and from the internet and all the rest, versus how much Bible they're getting at home and at church?
Yeah, well, right now, okay, don't practice church discipline on me, but my two eldest kids, oh boy, they're going to a government institution. They go to a state university, and my eldest daughter is taking a philosophy class. Oh, mm-hmm. Janet. Oh, they come at them with both barrels blazing. Yeah. And it happens in chemistry class, math class. It comes back to always assaulting the Christian God. They never talk about Allah. They never talk about atheism. They always go after Christianity. So if our kids are not saturated in the Word before they go to university, you really need to think long and hard about sending them there, because you're sending a little lamb out to the lions.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. But now let's talk about the gospel as parents understand it, because we've seen statistics on that too. And how well do you think the average Christian parent really understands the gospel?
The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Don't understand it. Mom and Dad don't understand it. The precious pearl has been buried with heaps of moralistic preaching. Let me give you an idea of a sermon that sounds good and that isn't. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, the marriage chapter. Mm-hmm. Love is patient. Love is kind, church. Love doesn't keep records. Love doesn't boast. That's the type of love that we should have for one another. Now, go love one another. And you say, well, that sounds pretty good, but that's actually a legalistic approach to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Here's the law, gospel, justification, sanctification, Jesus-focused sermon that says, 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a long laundry list of ways we're supposed to love one another, to be patient and kind, to not envy or boast. I don't know about you, but I don't love like that. Mm-hmm. Do you love like that?
Mm-mm.
We don't even come close to that standard. Church, we need Christ.
Yeah.
We need the one who did love perfectly. We need the God of love. We need to run to him right now because we can't measure up. Now, that's preaching, law, and gospel. And in most churches, it's just a lot of moralisms. Yes. Act better, you'll get a better job, your kids will be better, you'll have better finances, you'll just have a better personality, you'll be more winsome, you'll have more friends. And that's just advice that Oprah could preach, but that's not Christian preaching.
What about the parents who say, all right, I think, Todd, I do understand that I'm a wicked sinner and that Jesus is an amazing Savior, as you said before. I know that I was lost in my sins and I was dead, and I, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, regenerated me, and I came to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm a new person in Christ. But I don't know enough theology to really be able to disciple my kids, and that's why I rely on my church. Those guys went to seminary. What's wrong with doing that, Todd?
Well, let me gently and lovingly say, then start studying harder, start reading your Bible more, but don't be daunted. Nobody knows the Bible as well as we should. And Janet, we don't need to teach systematic theology. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to adorn the basics of the gospel with our lives. So here's the challenge that I would give to every parent, and this is going to be radical. I believe, Janet, most fights, arguments, struggles, and pain in the home come from forgetting the first message of the gospel. Okay, remember the first message? We're really wicked sinners.
Yes.
When I forget that I am the chief of sinners, Paul is dead, I take the crown. I am the wretched man that Romans 7 talks about. I am the worst sinner in this house. When I forget that, that's when the fights begin. I'm sitting downstairs, the temperature is perfect, I've got the Masters golf tournament on, and in comes a child covered with mud, yelling, crying, complaining about another sibling, and if I forget that I'm the worst sinner in the house, I go off like a rocket, because how dare you interrupt Dad's quiet time? Can't I have a little peace in this house? What's going on in my heart? Yeah. I think I'm better than my kid. I think that my kid should be as perfect as I am. And I believe when we forget the first message of the gospel, we tend to find ourselves in fights and having trauma in our homes. But when we remember that we're the worst sinner in the house, Janet, I'm telling you, it will so revolutionize your home when you start to approach your child recognizing that you are a bigger sinner than the child you gave birth to. That will change the way you talk about everything, and it will show your children that you have been affected by the gospel. Because I loaded this in the first and second chapter. We aren't showing our kids how theology works, and we're not showing our kids, we get it, we've been saved. Honey, I understand why you hit your sister. Daddy did the same thing when I was a child. I understand why you used a potty word. I had to have my mouth washed out with ivory liquid. I get you, honey. I'm a bigger sinner than you, and that's why you and I both need Jesus. Now, start thinking like that, whether you're a theologian or not, and your home will change.
Yes, I like that. I really like that, because they are looking to us to demonstrate Christianity. Now, sometimes parents will get off the rails a little bit and think, well, if I'm not perfect 24/7 and I can't be, my child might reject Christ, Todd.
Oh, no. They believe me. They know you're not perfect.
They know. Yep, they know.
I mean, you want... I mean, I so delude myself. I can't confess my sin to my child. They might think I'm a sinner. Oh, let me tell you.
They know full well. Yeah, that's right.
Janet, if I could, let me apply this idea of just remembering the gospel to a very pervasive problem for adolescents and adults too, pornography.
Yes.
You discover your son is watching pornography. And we can just get furious and be disgusted with our child. Look, it's a terrible sin. But wait a second. I'm a man. My eyes have strayed. My brain has conjured up images and movies that it should not have. Remembering that, now I can enter into my child's son's world and say, son, I want to tell you something. There is a battle every man has, and it's a battle for lust. And I hate to admit this, but your father has committed that sin that Jesus warned about, looking at a woman and lusting after her. Your dad is a guilty man. I understand you've been on the internet, and I understand you've been looking at forbidden images. I get you, son. I understand the battle. You know what we need? We need a Savior who understands. We need a Savior who never lusted. We both need to go to Jesus. Why don't we just do that now? And I'll talk to God first, you talk to God second, and then we're going to talk about how we can deal with your computer to make sure this doesn't happen again. Now tell me that is not a radical different approach that shows your kid what the gospel is and how it has affected you.
Yes, and what you're doing in that scenario is pointing him to Jesus. You're not pointing him necessarily to Dad, and Dad is all wise and all knowing. You're pointing him to Christ, and that's so different from what we normally do when we're trying to discipline our kids. There's a lot more to talk about. Todd Friel and I returning right after this on Janet Mefford Today. This Janet Meffer Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org. We are back on Janet Mefford Today, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. One of the two main parenting passages in the Word of God. This is such a serious task with which God has entrusted many of us, and that is raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And Todd Friel is with us talking about his book, Reset for Parents, How to Keep Your Kids from Backsliding. All right, let's talk about these parenting passages a little bit, Todd, because this you raised a really good analogy there before we went to the break. If your child is caught, for example, looking at porn, and your approach was to say, I'm a sinner too. We struggle with this concept of lust, and we need to go to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness and ask him to, you know, this is the gospel, that we need to ask God for his forgiveness and grace again. What about these passages in the Word of God in Deuteronomy 6 and also Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 about fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How are we to apply this in a day-to-day situation, guiding our kids biblically in everything we do? That's really an overwhelming principle. How do you put that into action in your own home?
Well, I would start by using biblical language. We have a tendency to think our kids are naughty. Oh, no, they're not. They're wicked little sinners. Our kids just don't do little boo-boos or don't act the way we want. No, they're sinning. So here's what that can look like in your home. You are in the kitchen, Mom. You're trying to get dinner ready. Things are coming together. Everybody's headed home. When all of a sudden, off in the distance, you hear some screaming going on. Now, here's our typical response. This has been my response. It may have been your response. You just blow. I'm just trying to make dinner in here. Can I have some peace, please? Now, you can get your child to comply with that, because if you raise your voice loudly enough, show them that you're hysterical, or threaten to grab the wooden spoon, you can get compliance. But our children are not Pavlov's dogs. They're image bearers of God. We do not shoot for pagan parenting and behavioral modification. We want our kids to love the Lord more. So if I start with biblical language, I hear the kerfuffle in the other room. I stop, put down my ladle, and say, uh-oh, my kids are sinning. That means I need to go on a rescue mission. That means I need to get involved to lead them to Jesus so that they can understand their great need for him. Now, that changes my approach. I challenge every parent who is listening, never discipline your child again. And now that doesn't mean you don't get to spank them if you choose corporal punishment, but I'm talking about mere discipline. The root word is disciple. I want to teach my child. So that means I want every encounter with my little sinner to have one result, that they love Jesus more when I'm done with the conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, ask yourself the question, when you're flying up the stairs, you're taking the belt off of your waist to give them a good whack. Wait a second, that guy on Janet Mefford's show said, I'm supposed to think about making sure that my child loves Jesus more when I'm done. Now open the door, Dad. Now go to the room, Mom, and try. Just go ahead and try to teach them to love Jesus more by being furious or beating on them. You can't. Let the gospel affect you. Apply it to them by recognizing you don't have distracting little monsters. You have got unregenerate sinners who need saving. Now, parent, and Janet, this takes us back full circle to the question you asked about the parents who don't know much theology. You know enough. This alone is enough. Now just go and apply it.
Good. Good. Yeah, you know more than you think you know. But again, what I raised earlier from your book is important to discuss, and that's not confusing justification with sanctification. Being saved and being mature in Christ are two completely different things. And for the kid who, you know, became a Christian as a very young little boy or a little girl, is not mature in Christ at age 10 or 12 or 14. There is, you know, any more than mom is completely mature in Christ. We all are in the process of being sanctified. How do you guide parents along those lines? Basically having patience as God works in your child's life the way he's working in your life.
Yeah, this might sting a little bit, but I think it starts by remembering that we are not our child's Holy Spirit.
Yep.
That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to go back to those verses. You know, there's really only two Bible verses that talk about parenting in the Bible, and they repeat the same thought, Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6. Train up your child in the discipline, the instruction of the Lord, and don't anger them. That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a shocking paucity of information for parents. So we need to just bring that to every scenario, every situation, and that includes the understanding that my child is not going to be as sanctified as I am. And if your child is, one of you has a problem. So look at your child and recognize they're going to make bad choices. In fact, this will sound a little radical, Janet, but at some point, the goal, what keeps a child is a lack of adult information. And so mom and dad need to progressively release that information at the appropriate age, and every child is slightly different. But at some point, I need to treat my child the way God treats me. He lets me sin. Mm-hmm. And that means sometimes I got to let my kids sin, even though I know it's going to hurt. I don't want them to fall into a calamity. But if my child says, I want to go to the R-rated movie, I can say, honey, if you think that's what's best, as opposed to, we're a Christian. If they find out at church, you're going to an R-rated. Sometimes you have to let your kids sin and learn for themselves, because if we don't slowly release them, Janet, I'll tell you, they'll break the cords as soon as they run off to university, and then you've got a disaster on your hand.
Well, and I think about this big task. We're about to go through this ourselves. Our oldest daughter is about to go off to university, and we're going through some of these pangs, and yet your job is to launch them. That's why you had them, and you're raising them, and your job is to launch them when they're ready to launch. And the thing that always comes through my mind is I need to prepare you to be able to be an adult in a setting where you are going to encounter things that mom and dad can't control.
Yeah.
What about that, Todd, in preparing a kid to go off to college and, by God's grace, stay in the faith, go to church, find Christian friends, get into a Bible study, stuff like that. How have you navigated that, especially with having kids in secular universities?
Yeah, I would say this. First of all, I would never make a law where there is no law. So I would never make a claim, you must homeschool your child. We did, but I would never say that's a law. We sent our kids off to public university because, well, we could afford it.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that it's a sin to do so, but I would say this. Mom and dad are not being wise, and they're not really loving their child if they don't assess their child's spirituality level. How mature are they? And if you don't have a battle plan for them, you got to know they are going to get thumped in philosophy class and every other class. And if you aren't fighting just as hard for your child on the right side, that's why we lose so many of them. Have a battle plan.
Well, one thing that crosses my mind as you're saying this, Todd, is I have thought for years one of the most important things as a mom that I have to do is to prepare my kids to defend the faith. Give them the tools that they can think. If we don't have thinking kids, they're going to get clobbered. And in my mind, Christians ought to be the best thinkers out there. Isn't that part of what our responsibility is as parents, is teach our kids how to think biblically, so no matter what the situation is that they face, they're going to be able to handle at least the discussion part of it?
Science class. They're going to get drubbed by evolution.
Yep.
They are going to get hammered in sexuality classes and lectures. They're going to get hit by all of the temptations. And their other suitors are going to come knocking. And if we do not have their defenses shored up when they leave, you might want to think about sending them.
That's important. And you have a chapter on that, preparing your child to meet other suitors. How do you do that?
Yeah, you would do exactly what you're talking about. We need to, like, the Christian worldview can defend itself just fine. It's been under assault for 2,000 years. Jesus is still building his church, and a erudite professor is not going to shake it. So teach your kids, instruct your kids, and make sure that you're in a church that does the same, and that your youth group offers more than pizza parties.
What a concept. Yes, what a concept. More than pizza. We're going to come back. Todd Friel, Reset for Parents, How to Keep Your Kids from Backsliding. You're listening to Janet Meffer today, and we'll be back right after this. How can Christians stand on God's word at a time when radical activists want to compromise the church on the issue of biblical sexuality? A rising tide of LGBT activism is becoming apparent inside our churches. Wearing a religious facade, these activists talk about LGBT Christians and sexual minorities, and their goal is to move our churches away from the word of God. It's time for the church to defend biblical truth without compromise. That's why I'd like to invite you to join me, Janet Mefford, at the God's Voice Conference, a biblical response to the queering of the church. Sponsored by First Stone Ministries, God's Voice will bring clarity to the confusion surrounding revoiced sexuality and identity. Our team of experts will demonstrate how the language of the LGBT Christian movement is rooted not in the Bible, but in the same ideology that has wreaked havoc on our culture. The God's Voice Conference will take place February 22nd and 23rd in Oklahoma City, and we want to see you there. It's time for the church to bow the knee to God's voice. To register or for more information, visit godsvoice.us. That's godsvoice.us. Socialism is being purposely dressed up in Christian choir robes by once trusted and very influential church leaders. Their gatherings are growing in numbers as they shelve the true gospel and replace it with a false one known as the social gospel. What is this agenda to undermine the influence of Christ across the world? And whatever happened to powerful biblical Christianity? Noted producers Judd Saul, Trevor Loudon, Curtis Bowers, and Pastor Kerry Gordon of Cornerstone Church have joined forces to create enemies within the church, a hard-hitting international documentary that will reveal the plans and the players behind this movement and shine a bright light of restoration and hope upon Christ's church. To stay updated about this film and learn how you can support this important effort, go to enemieswithinthechurch.com and subscribe to the Enemies Within the Church newsletter. While you're there, be sure to enjoy a sneak peek of the movie. Go now to enemieswithinthechurch.com, sponsored by Cornerstone World Outreach International. That's enemieswithinthechurch.com. There's so much good in this book, Reset for Parents, How to Keep Your Kids from Backsliding. Todd Friel with us from Wretched TV and Radio. You can check him out at wretchedradio.com. Todd, we've been talking about all the ways to prepare your child to not only be saved by God's grace, but also to be discipled by mom and dad and to be able to go out into the world. One of the other things that you mentioned, which I think is well worth talking about, is, as you say it, enrolling them in ancestry.com/Protestantism. In other words, you weren't the first Christian to come along in the history of the world. Why is that important?
Yeah, well, there's some, I haven't figured out what it is yet, but there's something inside of us that says, I want to know where I came from. I want to be a part of something. That's why Ancestry.com and these DNA tests seem to have so much influence. They tug at us. Who was my great-great-great-great-grandfather? Well, a lot of kids don't know that their spiritual great-great-great-grandfather was Martin Luther, John Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli, John Knox. They've never heard about the Marian martyrs who were set on fire in front of their families for preaching the gospel. They need to hear that William Tyndale is their great-great-great-great-grandfather, without whom the English language would not exist as we know it, who was arrested because he wanted the Bible translated into the language of the English people. Mm. He was tied to a stake. There were sticks put all around him to set him on fire. But before they did that, they gave him the courtesy of strangling him with a chain. Why? Because so many of the martyrs were preaching from their burning point and people were getting saved. So they strangled him to death. But they did something else with William Tyndale and with many of the martyrs that are our ancestors. They put a bag of gunpowder around their neck so that as the flames slowly came up their body and they ultimately were consumed by it and would slump down, their heads would explode because the gunpowder went off and their bodies would be just splattered so that there were no remains of these people. Those are our kids' ancestors. Those are our Protestant ancestors. And when our kids don't realize that we have a deep, rich heritage, they go looking elsewhere for it. They want to get plugged into something bigger, something longer. Maybe they'll swim the Tiber and go to Roman Catholicism because, well, that goes all the way back to Peter. Hold it. We have an ancestry, and we would do well to teach it to our kids.
Very true. Very true.
Janet, could I go back to something that you asked about?
Of course.
The two commandments for parents: teach your kids the Bible, basically, and don't make them nuts. Okay, that's a biggie. So here's what I did for one of the chapters in this book, Janet. I started to write down all of the ways that I have made my kids crazy. Are you ready for the list? It didn't take me long to write it.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Number one, I didn't apologize enough. I was always afraid to say, I'm sorry, honey, your daddy sinned against you, because I thought I'd be sacrificing the power position. Mm-hmm. That's wrong.
Yeah.
You're modeling Jesus' humility, not that he ever sinned, but you're modeling his humility when you say, honey, your daddy blew it, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I didn't do that enough. I did more fault-finding than praising. Try a different ratio. How's about 10 compliments, attaboys, good girl, versus one correction? I had my ratios wrong. I'd forgotten that the rotten fruit did not fall far from the tree. So every time I saw my kids sin, I couldn't believe it. What's the matter with, oh yeah, they're just like I was when I was a kid. It makes them mad. I forgot about preferences, that if my kid doesn't like eating asparagus, he's not sinning. God lets us choose. We get preferences. Why can't we let our kids? I blew that a million times. I didn't adjust my sense of humor, especially for my daughters. Sarcasm and girls don't tend to blend. I took way too long to figure that out. I expected them to get over it when I wouldn't do the same thing. So on and on my list goes. Janet, here's an encouraging word for every parent who can understand and feel the mistakes that I've made, because they've made them too. This is the point. See your faults. See your mistakes. Do not go into the slough of despond. Run to Jesus. Confess those sins. Remember that you've been forgiven because he died for you. And then reengage with your kids. And if you have an older kid who's a prodigal and you think, all of this talk, it's too late for me. No, it's not. Call them up. Confess your sins to them. Tell them that you've blown it. We all have. Tell them that you've been forgiven, and tell them that you'd like to reset and have a fresh start with them. And I'm telling you, you start showing them the gospel, explaining the gospel, living the gospel. God has written a bazillion prodigal stories, and he could write one for your family, too.
I love that. That's so well said, Todd. You know, something else that struck me, and you have so many good chapters, people are going to have to pick up the book and read each and every one of them. But one of the ones that really struck me was the chapter where you say, don't let them be degraded or shunned at church. I have found in my life, sometimes as a parent, I have to undo what a church has done to my child.
Ouch.
Isn't that terrible? And here I am, a Christian radio host. I'm supposed to be saying the church is wonderful, perfect all the time. We know it's not perfect all the time because people fill churches. What are you saying when you say it is the job of the parents here to not let our kids be degraded or shunned at church?
Well, you know, I had to be told this by my daughters, frankly, because, you know, I don't pay attention and I don't focus right. Let me give a scenario that I think we can all relate to. It's the lobby. It's after church. We're a lingering family. We're those people who like to hang out for a long time. And so we'd talk to the people we know, and we'd have a great, and our kids would be standing right there. And I didn't realize until my daughters brought it to my attention, those adults never even looked at them.
Yeah.
They never even talked to them. And then when they would, it was like, so what university are you going to go to?
Yep.
Are you going to go to a Christian school? No, I'm going to the state school. You are?
Yeah.
Why are you going there?
Yep.
Is that, do you really have that outfit that you're wearing? Those double piercings that, and it was, I was shocked. And look, I don't think that it's because people are malicious. Adults like to talk to adults more, but we need to be mindful. They're becoming adults, and they do feel degraded and shunned when we do not give them any attention. Mm-hmm.
Right, which is important to consider when you're talking to your friend and that teenage daughter is standing next to your friend. Talk to them. They're people. They are growing in the Lord just like we are. And ultimately, if you do have a child who has backslid, Todd, leaves home after high school, goes to college, becomes an evolutionist, becomes a pagan, embraces the whole nine yards, it can be very overwhelming for Christian parents. I failed. I stink. Yeah. I'm horrible and I can't redo it. Lord, my child's never going to come back to the church. And the more mom invites the kid to come back to the church, the more the kid resists. What do I do, Todd?
Yeah, I think we need really good theology at that moment. And we need to remember we cannot get our child saved and we cannot get our child lost. Mom and dad, you've seen the stories. A pastor and his wife, they raised three wonderful kids and that fourth one is the Tasmanian devil. What did they do differently? Nothing.
Yeah.
They were good parents. They did their best. They were trying to be godly. You can't save your kids. A pastor can't. You can't. I can't. God saves our kids, and God keeps our kids. So you can't get them saved, and you can't get them lost. So get off of the hook that God has not placed you on. Your kid is not a prodigal because of you. Now, that's not to say you haven't sinned, but that's what the Christian faith is about, being forgiven. So don't languish there. Recognize that you've sinned. Recognize that you're forgiven, but recognize that only God saves and only God keeps. And it's our job to simply be faithful so that one day we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Your kids are going to be here very soon.
That's wonderful. When you have somebody in that situation where the child has wandered off and they know there's no necessarily a ironclad guarantee that that child will come back to the Lord, what is the best thing the parent can do in interacting with that child?
Well, you know, this is controversial. I'll ramp it up. Your child has admitted they have same-sex attraction. How do you treat that child? Might I suggest that you love them and speak truth to them? We have a tendency to get the truth part right, but we need to love our kids. We're not the church. We aren't the ones who discipline our kids and set them out. We love them, and we model the gospel for them, and I think we also adopt kind of a long view. Yeah, maybe a lot of messy stuff has happened in your home. It's going to take a while to unwind some of that stuff. It's God's timetable, so think this could take years before any fruit happens from this. So be patient, be loving, and be constantly motivated by the gospel, remembering so great a salvation so that you desire for them to know and experience what you've experienced and not just simply live the straight lifestyle.
That's good advice. Well, a lot of good advice in this new book from Todd Friel.
Because I'm a perfect parent, Janet.
Yeah, never yells. You're making me feel terrible, Todd. I'm never going to yell again, I promise. Maybe, sort of. But a great book. It's called Reset for Parents, How to Keep Your Kids from Backsliding. Always great advice. WretchedRadio.com. Check out Todd Friel's great work at Wretched TV and Radio. Todd, always an honor to talk to you. Thank you so very much.
You just do. Great job, Janet.
You do too, Todd. Take care and God bless you. And thanks a lot for being with us. All right. Thank you too for being with us. JanetMefford.com is our website. We'll see you there. God bless you.